Practical Kabbalah. Hello, everyone. Hello, Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello. We're continuing our series of talks, Practical Kabbalah. Our topic for today is bestowing to the Creator. What can we give the Creator, actually? I think that this is one of the most interesting topics, probably the main theme in the wisdom of Kabbalah. And so it's a general question. Is it possible to explain what does it mean to bestow to the Creator? Well, I think that it's not that complicated to explain it. The thing is that man is created so that throughout his development he will come to the understanding, recognition, feeling that he is in the hands of the upper force. And this upper force governs all that which we call the world, and we need to subordinate to it, explore it, and according to how we understand it, to come closer to it. This is what we're trying to do. Your teacher, Rabash, writes in an article that he wrote about 40 years ago, he says, explaining the matter of bestow, when a person serves someone whom the world regards as important, he does not demand any kind of compensation in return for his action. And this is something very unique, a very unique ability or formula for man. Only man is capable to perform such an action that he can do something for some great person and not demand any kind of compensation in return, because the action itself is the compensation, is the reward. And the same in relation to the Creator. But how is it possible? Because we're egoists. So where does this ability come from? It's because when you are engaged with something greater than you, then the sheer connection to the one who's greater than you gives you the foundation to feel yourself as fulfilled, as becoming fulfilled. And we see it in many cases in life. But still, man's an egoist. Why not get some kind of an additional reward? Besides the pleasure, something in addition to that. No, won't be that way, because if man demands or asks or will simply receive in return for his special relation towards someone else, attitude towards someone else, money or something of the kind that will elevate him above others, meaning a reward, then, in that case, it will all be at his own expense. So the payment needs to be other. Either he gets money or compensation in the form of that the action itself serving someone great fulfills him. Yeah. Next. In the article, he writes that we need to know what is a bestowing vessel. There are three options. He explains it. I'll explain it shortly. There is to bestow to the benefit of another in order to get some kind of reward. That's clear. Normal egoistic action. Then he bestows upon the other, but the reward is already the work itself. But still, he gets pleasure from the work. And the test is simple, writes Rabash, that he can't simply allow someone else to do it. Even if I know that you can do it better than I can, I won't let you do it because I enjoy the action itself. And the third is a unique ability. I want to ask about this, when a person can perform an act of bestowal and he refuses to receive any kind of pleasure. Yeah. Can a person perform this kind of bestowal that he won't get anything in return? No. You need to understand that this is reception of pleasure. It is a form of bestowal. I so much respect that person. I so much love that person. Appreciate. He's so great in my eyes that for him I'm willing to do anything and everything without anything in return. Well, it's hard to understand in relation to another person, but if we talk about the Creator, we say that the main idea in Kabbalah is to bestow to the Creator. Can you give an example? What does it mean to bestow to the Creator? Because he's not an object. It's the whole of nature. What is it? What does it mean to give to nature? To bestow upon the Creator means to do for his sake from within those conditions, actions, which he wishes to see, to feel, receive, then these actions will be considered bestowing upon the Creator. So what are these conditions, actions? Well, were you to know what the Creator needs, then you'd start looking. How can you bestow onto him? Suppose I know it's written in the books that to bestow to the Creator means to bestow to your fellow man. Great. Suppose I heard that there is such a thing as bestowing upon your fellow man. I can surely say that if I bestow upon someone else, that's more or less clear to me. And it's also a question, what does that fellow man need? Then by that, I bestow to the Creator? Yeah? And where's the pleasure here? I don't get pleasure. Wait a moment. You start scrutinizing. What can I do for the Creator? And here, there are only two actions. We either receive or give. We don't have anything else. Suppose I can give. This is something that's closer to me, clearer to me. Meaning, if I give to my fellow man, by that I distinguish him, I salute him. In my eyes, he looks greater, better than others. That is bestowal. But what can one give to his fellow man? Whatever, you need to find out. What does he want? So I found out what he wants. I asked him, suppose he needs it, I give it to him. I think that by that, I as if fulfill the Creator's commandment, and that's that. Yeah, that's that. It's not something small. Suppose someone were to do something like that for you. Right, but then your teacher writes that a person cannot reach such a state by his own forces. As it's written, man's inclination overcomes him each day and seeks to kill him. Meaning a person is incapable. Where is he going to take the energy? He'll ask the Creator. He will ask the Creator. And the Creator, if he wishes for man to have such an opportunity, then he'll give it to him. But here he concretely says that without the Creator giving man the energy to do something for his fellow man without demanding anything in return, without that a person will not be able to do it. Right. Why is it made so that that man needs to ask of the Creator? Because the Creator wants for man to be independent. Independent, free. While all of a sudden he needs to ask. And without that, it's impossible. Right. Why? Because man needs to feel, what does he get as a result? What does it give him? What does he achieve? And here what turns out is that he simply only attains everything. He has nothing else. No, I mean, if a person can't bestow upon his fellow man, he needs to ask for help from the Creator, for fuel. Why? Why is it made so? Because the Creator wants for us to be independent. Why can't I reach that state by myself? The Creator wants for us to be independent in our ego, in relation to the ego, not simply so independent. Otherwise, he would have created us differently. He created us egoists, thinking only about ourselves. And when I think about another person, reluctantly I start feeling that I'm thinking about myself. The desire to think about yourself instead of thinking about your fellow man is our nature, our ego. And this way, we need to come closer to the Creator and to try and give Him pleasure by thinking about Him. Is it possible to give the Creator pleasure directly without giving pleasure to your fellow man? But the Creator is also your fellow man. You said that there's no difference between doing for your fellow man and the Creator is one and the same? Well, it's not one and the same. The difference is in the scale. It's not just so. But actually, it's from the same field. But is it possible to directly work with the Creator to His benefit without the fellow man? No. So it will always be through the fellow man. Man, first of all, needs to learn how to work with his fellow man, his surroundings, those that are close to him, and not just one, but many. And only after that can he achieve equivalence of form with the Creator in that he will receive or give only for the sake of others, to their benefit. What's the trick here? I got up in the morning and I start looking for where those close people... Well, suppose I don't have to look for them. They're always around me. But I always walk around with the thought of, what can I give to others? No. You simply... No. You think, what actions of mine can delight the Creator? How can I make Him happy? What would He like to see, feel from me? If these actions are clear to you, then gradually start coming closer to them. Yeah, in the article, your teacher writes that man needs to come to equivalence of form, as he is merciful, so will you be, etc. What does it mean, as he is merciful? It's not that in front of my eyes there's the Creator, and I understand what he's doing. Man, you don't need to. You yourself need to do it, and not to learn what he does. His actions are insignificant to you. If you want to delight him, do something pleasant for him, in action and feeling, then you need to do it. But the idea itself, to do to the benefit of the Creator, the bottom line is that if the Creator is great in my eyes, then by doing something to His benefit, I'll get pleasure. And the purpose of creation is to receive pleasure, right? And if the Creator is not great in my eyes, then even if I do something to His benefit, I won't be able to receive pleasure from it. Meaning, man's entire task is to make it so that the Creator will be great in his eyes. Yes. And the Creator is the quality of bestowal. I don't know who He is. I know what His qualities are. Yeah. So, if the quality of bestowal will be important in my life, I will be able to fulfill Him and also get pleasure from it. Yes. Achieving equivalence of form. The equivalence of form is what brings a person to pleasure. Of course, if you want it, then of course it brings pleasure. You're content, you're delighted, you're proud of it. So it's like in our world. Suppose there's a person that I really respect, and I have acquired qualities similar to his. Yes. And so that delights me that I'm like him. Right? Rabash, he asks this question in his article, why not immediately give a person the quality of bestowal? Why is it necessary to apply such exertion to get this quality, to ask the Creator to give him this quality? Why not immediately give a person this ability? No, the thing is that man needs to pay for it. Then he will consider this quality to be his own, that he earned it, that he emitted it from himself. And so what he gets is he feels pride, and that he feels that these qualities are, that he has achieved them by his own right. So suppose there's a person that everyone respects, right? And I did something for him. I get tremendous pleasure from it. It happens automatically. I don't even need to apply exert. I don't have to exert myself. I just need to understand that this person is great and everyone respects him. Right? Why doesn't it work the same way with the Creator? It does. If he's great in your eyes, then no problem. You can do anything that will delight him. Yeah, but if you ask any person in the world, is the Creator great in your eyes? I think everyone will say yes, obviously. I don't think that everyone will say yes. If some person is great in the eyes of people, then of course the Creator is great. Yeah. So why can't I do something to his benefit? Ask yourself. I'm telling you, but you disagree. I'm telling you that in you there's no respect to the Creator. You do not subordinate yourself, yield yourself to the Creator, concede yourself to the Creator because you don't know anything about Him. You don't see His greatness. And were you to see all of this, His greatness, His magnitude, His height, then you would have happily done something for Him. Well, of course, were I to see, obviously. But He's concealed on purpose, not allowing us to see. He's concealed on purpose. He doesn't allow us to see. Right. First of all, get rid of the ego. And gradually, in the measure to which we get rid of the ego, we will be able to become like Him, come closer to Him. Well, that's clear, but still, there are people in the world for whom the Creator is great. They're even willing to die for Him, and there are millions. That's just talk. No, I mean, people commit suicide for that. They're ready to die. It's not something big. It isn't? No. Well, this I understand, that if you define the Creator as the quality of bestowal, or that it's great in my eyes, then that's clear. It's a problem. But if you just take the Creator as nature, or certainly He's great in my eyes, but if you look at Him as the quality of bestowal, then obviously, and also to implement it on your fellow man, then obviously an egoist, for him it can't be important. This can't be important in his eyes. What guarantees to a person that he will not remain in his egoistic nature? Again, what guarantees a person that till the end of his days he will not remain in his egoistic nature, but that he will be able to achieve equivalence of form? There is no guarantee. No guarantee. We understand that what governs us is the upper force that's interested in us coming closer to Him, connecting with Him, performing together mutual actions in terms of governing or correcting ourselves on the entire world. Last question. What delights a person, the action itself of bestowing upon a great man or a person or the Creator, which you said that it's one and the same? or equivalence of form that I suddenly feel that I'm like him. Equivalence. So the action is the means. To be like the Creator is a very exalted degree. By that, you come completely closer to Him, you achieve equivalence of form with Him, you become completely like Him. And therefore, there's no greater condition for the closeness between man and the Creator. It says in all of our source texts that the Creator does not think about Himself. He has no thought about Himself. It's like a station, that energetic station that emanates all the time, creates, gives, connects from still matter to man. And I also want to have these kinds of inclinations, at least. Well, for that, you really need to ask the Creator to give you this nature. Meaning, naturally, it can't appear in a person. You have to ask. Right. Thank you very much. Till next time. Good luck to you in that. All the best.